Hello, my name is Kelly Bramblett, and I am a trauma support coach and spiritual mentor who works with people from all over the world who are struggling with unresolved wounding. I do this by gently guiding them to healing, peace, and self-love through my one-on-one coaching. In addition to this, I also write a weekly spiritually based blog and I'm the host of Kelly Bramblett's High Vibe podcast, which can be heard on all major streaming platforms. My mission is to help spread a message of hope to the hopeless and inspire others to heal the collective by first healing themselves. I am a fully certified general life coach, trauma care specialist, law of attraction practitioner, EFT practitioner, and a level 3 Usui Reiki master teacher. My first book, Alchemy of the Phoenix, From the Ashes of Trauma to the Light of Love, was released July 1st, 2020, and continues to offer further support for trauma survivors worldwide. You can learn more about my work by visiting my website at www.kellybramblett.com. Hello and welcome, welcome, welcome. Today I have Lily Bewley on the show, who is a dating coach for finding love with over 10 years of experience in personal development. She herself went from just surviving in life to thriving in love and purpose. Currently, she is helping single and successful women love dating and find true love. Lily is on a mission to educate people on how dating can be fun again after divorce, even in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and even if they've been single forever. So thank you so much, Lily, for being on the show today.
Thanks, Kelly. I'm happy to be here.
So I always like to ask my guests this question to start with, which is, can you tell us a little bit about what put you on this journey for helping women find love? What's a little bit of your personal story?
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you for the space. I'm super happy to drop in and chat more about love. Love is like, it's the thing that just kind of makes me so happy and juicy and just, I don't know, makes me feel so connected to myself and God's purpose for me or the universe's purpose for me. Well, I always like to say when people ask me this question, I always like to say that I was born with a big heart. A huge heart. You know, I'm loving, caring, kind at my core. Growing up in a fairly traumatic environment at home, and then going through these cycles of unhealthy relationships, you know, people say the word toxic, use whatever word that you want, through unhealthy relationships, and then kind of getting into dating after my last long-term relationship. And then kind of realizing that the patterns were still there. And the pattern was this for me. And this is why I do what I do. And the pattern was that, like, I could do all of the work to kind of know what I want or who I wanted. But again, like, the same patterns kept showing up, like attracting unavailable men, maybe sleeping with them too quickly and not really, maybe that not being the best for me, or me telling myself I was okay with it. But I just started to see these patterns. And what I realized was that I never learned, because of this, the traumatic environment that I grew up in, and also like me being this loving and caring and kind and nice person, I never learned how to discern who to allow into my heart. So, you know, I used to be a yes person, you know, saying yes to even hanging out with friends or jobs or, you know, or helping people, or it was all yes. Cause I didn't really know, like I said, how to say yes and say no for what lined up with me. And through Kelly just follows my development about like my healing and who I became and learning how to discern who to date, for example, or who to spend your time, your energy, your money with is really a skill. And for most of us, I don't know about you, but for most of us, most of the people that I work with, the women that I work with, it's a skill that we were just never born with, or we were born with and it kind of got, you know, got, what's the word, filtered out of us based off our experiences through life. And so learning how to connect back to your intuition, learning how to listen to yourself, learning how to be connected to your heart and your body and your soul when you're dating is one of the most fulfilling experiences that I have ever experienced in my life. So, you know, going through these unhealthy relationship cycles and then ending here today, you know, I was talking about dating for about 3 years before I met my partner. So I was kind of in it, you know, in a way. I was a little bit more advanced in my healing, but I was still kind of in that process. And then just realizing that personally, that I can actually have the love type of relationship that I wanted was this huge awakening for me. And that's kind of why I teach what I teach, is because love, it can be so fulfilling and so enhancing that we all really deserve it.
Absolutely. And I loved that you kind of touched on the healing aspect, that saying, which I'm sure you've heard, if you don't address your trauma, your relationships will address it for you. And I think that is so true. And those two things definitely go hand in hand together for sure. So I love that you kind of touched on that, and that's a part of your story as well. Can you tell us what your feminine dating archetypes are?
Yeah. Oh, I love the feminine dating archetypes. It was kind of a gift. You know, I always like to say, I don't know, you know, whoever's listening, if you're connected to God or universe or creator or higher power or whatever it is, but something bigger than yourself. I always like to say that the feminine dating archetypes was a conspiring, you know, God and my higher self conspiring about looking back on my patterns in my life, looking at the hundreds of hours of coaching that I've done with my clients, and then kind of combining the different modalities that I use, the different theories, the different, you know, like attachment theory, all of those things. And all of a sudden one day it was like, oh, like these are patterns, like very distinct patterns, like very clear patterns that women go through while they're dating, especially if they have some unhealed stuff inside of them. And what I love about the feminine dating archetypes is two things. One, it really helps to illuminate not what you're doing bad, but it helps to illuminate kind of where you are, because the archetypes for me were kind of phases. The thing about a phase sometimes, though, is you can get stuck in a phase. So you can get stuck in the same patterning unless we consciously elect to heal or change or put ourselves in therapy or coaching or whatever it is to help change that pattern. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I love about the feminine dating archetypes is that it kind of shows you, and it helps you kind of shows you where you are, but also where you can go. And then it helps you kind of feel that you're not alone. Because I remember when I was dating, you know, I kept seeing it was drama, not all the time, but a lot of drama, a lot of confusion, a lot of frustration. And, you know, I would go to my friends and my family, and most of them were there for me, but they didn't really have the advice that was really great for my highest self. You know, like, oh, go have fun was, you know, advice that I got a lot. And girl, Lily can't just go have fun. You know, Lily, if Lily just goes and has fun, then she's really self-sabotaging and self-sacrificing herself, right? Because that's just a pattern throughout my life and my traumas, that's how I lived in the world. And so they can be phases, but they also can be, you know, just a place that you're kind of stuck in. So that's kind of where they came from. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And can you tell us a little bit about the quiz that you've created to help other women discover what their archetype is?
Yeah, it's cool. It's a 2-minute quiz. It helps reveal your blocks to love and find your true love match. I don't know if you've taken it, Kelly, but it's at datingarchetype.com. So again, there are 4 archetypes. And like I said, these can be phases, and these can be something that you heal, you can kind of heal out of. But the chill woman is the archetype number 1. And the chill woman is really, really familiar with overwhelm and anxiety in dating. And this tends to flare up 24, 48, 72 hours after not hearing from him. Especially after like I remember this used to happen to me all the time when I was on the apps. I would be on the apps and be chatting with a man, and we would be up all night chatting, you know, fun, you know, nothing like sexting or anything like that, but it was just fun. It was connecting. And then all of a sudden the next day, nothing, didn't hear from him. And then anxiety and overwhelm set in. That was my chill woman phase. The chill woman tends to get ghosted a lot, and she doesn't understand why. She may be pretty good at communicating, but for some reason there's this pattern of her getting ghosted, and she just doesn't understand why. Sometimes the chill woman can tend to have sex pretty quickly after meeting someone, And this could be whether or not she says that this is okay for her. I remember when I was a chill woman, like I was like, I can handle it. You know, people talk about situationships. I got this, no problem. I can be friends. But in reality, I really kind of got caught up and I got attached in the feelings and wanting him to be more than really what I communicated than what it was. Mm-hmm. What she really wants, the chill woman, is she wants to know that people are going to be there for her and not leave. So the things that the chill woman can work on are healing her her boundaries that she has with herself and with others, learning how to speak up and communicate those boundaries, learning how to listen and hear herself on the inside so she can communicate that on the outside. Like a lot of times a chill woman also in the past has complained of not being seen and heard in relationships. So her work is to move on to the next is to really see and hear herself so that she can communicate that.
Thank you so much for sharing. So can you talk a little bit about attachment styles and why is that so important in relationships and dating?
Well, I think attachment styles are very important. And then I also think that they're not important sometimes. And here's why. We are really, really good at this point, especially if you're listening to Kelly's podcast, you know, especially if you are, you have a bunch of different podcasts or masterclasses in your queue, especially if you have like, you know, tons of self-development and self-help books. And this is me, you know, like I have tons of books like on the bedside table. And we can get to a point where we think that knowing our attachment styles is going to help us heal. And what happened for me is that I knew so much. I could diagnose myself. I could diagnose my cat. I could diagnose, you know, the man that I was dating or even the people in my life. But where we get stuck, and attachment styles are amazing, right? Like I'm sure, you know about them, right, Kelly? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do. Okay. So they're amazing because they do point to, it helps, labeling does help because it helps with awareness. But what happens after the point of awareness is healing, right? And a lot of people, especially, you know, on Instagram, especially those, you know, all those people that read the books, the podcast, or listen to the podcast, all the things, is that we just get stuck in that, in just knowing something, but not electing to heal. There's a big difference in that. So awareness is awesome. Attachment, knowing your attachment style is awesome. But what happened with me is it turned into a lot of self-shame and it turned into a lot of self-blame because I would see again, the pattern, like if we're talking about the chill woman, when I was in the chill woman phase, I had a lot of quote unquote male friends. Like I had a lot of hookups, even though I really did want a committed and long-term loving relationship. And those men weren't the men for that, but I kept saying yes to them. I kept saying yes and self-sacrificing myself. So I knew that my attachment style at that point was like either anxious or disorganized. Mm-hmm. And, but what it ended up being was a point of kind of like a roadblock in a way, like helpful for a little bit, like going down the road, but it ended up being a roadblock because no one ever talks about what we need to do to actually heal, you know, those attachment styles so we can get to secure attachment. I call the secure attachment as part of the feminine dating archetypes, the magnetic woman.
That's awesome. And I agree. I think awareness, as you say, is always the first step, but it's what are we going to do with that awareness from there? Mm-hmm. Are we just holding it and we're not doing anything with it? Or are we taking that awareness and being actionable and intentional about moving ourselves to a healthier space and a more serving space?
Totally.
So I really think that's an interesting take. And I guess I've never really thought about it that way. And I'll be the first to admit I am an expert on certain things, but relationships is not one of them. And if you see in my work, you hardly ever see me talking or writing or sharing about relationships because this is not my strong point whatsoever, which is why I was really excited to have you on the show, because I think this is something that could benefit not only me, but the people who are listening, the women who are listening to the podcast. But I really do love that take on attachment styles, and it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah. And maybe I can save some people some time, or maybe not. Let's see. This is the path that I went when it comes to like that awareness piece, Kelly. It's like for me, it was awareness, solo healing for years, like trying to do things on my own, which is a pattern. That is also a pattern, like hyper independence and the lone wolf pattern is also a pattern that can be not self-fulfilling and not in alignment sometimes. And then it went, hit a wall in solo healing, because again, the pattern is just something that happens three or more times, is I kept seeing the same unavailable men show up. I kept getting frustrated. I kept getting confused. And then finally it was like, I'm tired of being sick and tired. And I elected into, you know, really deeper healing containers and coaching containers. So that was the progression. I don't know if you've noticed that as well, but that was like, hopefully that saves some people time. Save yourself some years and just go ahead and do the thing that's scary and get in those coaching and healing containers so you can heal and then actually get what you want. Mm-hmm. But that was the progression for me.
Yeah. I always say none of us are meant to go this alone. Mm-hmm. Community and support is so mm-hmm. important, whether that comes from a group of girlfriends, whether that comes from a therapist or coach. But I agree. I think that mentality of I can do it all by myself, or I don't need any help, or I can figure this out. You likely will figure it out if you're really dedicated. But as you say, how many years is it going to take rather than just finding the support you need, someone who can teach you and offer you the tools that are going to help support you so that mm-hmm. you can make that growth and healing happen a lot faster and save precious time and energy along the way. So mm-hmm. I agree. I think we all need that support from one at one time or another. And most of us many different times for many different things, depending on mm-hmm. what's showing up in our life.
Very true.
What would you say some of the most common dating myths out there are?
Some common dating myths. So many. There's so many that really kind of great. It's like nails on a chalkboard to me. I think, you know, one archetype that we didn't really talk a whole lot about is the goddess woman. And the goddess woman has done a lot of work. She is dedicated to personal development. She's dedicated to like self-fulfillment. And likely if you take the quiz and you're the goddess woman, you've probably written a letter to your soulmate. And you've probably written out the qualities and characteristics that you want in your soulmate or whatever dream partner. I use dream partner. And the embodiment. So here's the difference is people will tell you just to do that and then lay back, and that's going to attract your dream partner, which is to me very false. I don't know if you've ever heard that story about Kelly, about the guy in the flood. So he was in his house, and there was a flood coming, and it was coming and coming and coming, and the water kept rising, and people came by and they were like, hey, let me help you get out of here, you know, whatever. And he's like, no, God's got me. And, you know, soon enough, the water keeps rising. A boat comes by and he says, no. You know, it's okay. God's got me. You just keep on going. Rises up to his waist. And then, I don't know, like a larger boat comes by and says, come on in. We want to save you. He said, no. God's got me. So it's rising and rising and rising. He goes up to the roof because the flood is rising, and a helicopter comes by and he says, no, you know, I don't need saving. God's got me. And eventually, you know, he ends up being consumed by the flood, and he meets God, and God is like, or he's like, God, why didn't you help me? I thought you were going to help me. And God's like, I sent you the boat. I sent you the bigger boat, and I sent you the helicopter. And the reason I feel like this is important when it comes to the goddess woman is that we can be connected to spirit, and we can be connected to God and or universe or whatever word that we want to use. And we do have to take earthly actions to get what we need, or what we want. And so I think it's the biggest misconception, because I was the goddess woman, y'all. These are the phases that I went through myself, is just like doing the work is awesome. Writing the letter is awesome. Writing out the characteristics that you want in a partner is awesome too, but there has to be some action on the earth. And the action on the earth, like in dating, may look like healing your perfectionism and your control. Because a lot of times when you're in the goddess phase and you've written, you have this like blueprint of what you want, comparing what you want to what actually shows up is can be like a very perfectionist control type of process. And it feels really bad sometimes for women. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So like, I just, that advice for me is it misses the mark of what things that do we need to do on here, you know, like on the earthly plane to actually attract that man. And it may be like, for me, it was a whole process. I talk about this, you know, on my Instagram a lot, but for me, it was actually like showing up for myself daily, you know, doing, the constant self-love practices. It was, early in the dating process when I was dating, was speaking up when I felt uncomfortable or asking for clarity or asking for actually what I needed. You know, there were three things that I knew that I really, really wanted in a partner. And I communicated that with love and with patience and gave that man some space at the beginning to kind of let me show me who he was instead of really just kind of comparing against a piece of paper. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I definitely wrote out my list before I attracted the partner I have now. And I think what I learned is no matter how perfect we think that list is, we're still getting an imperfect human being. Mm-hmm. And so there's always going to be things that maybe are different or not the same. But I also know that with anything you're trying to manifest, doesn't matter what it is, that it always takes that aligned action, those actionable mm-hmm. steps to move that energy along. So no matter what it is we are trying to attract, whether it's our dream partner, our dream job, our dream house, simply writing it down and visualizing it, I think that's great and wonderful. But then it is also following those nudges of inspired action and taking that inspired action, even when it's scary, because that's ultimately how we grow through uncomfortableness,
yeah.
Right?
I love that, Kelly. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's kind of my philosophy too. And, you know, I will also add to that, like, the come from is very important. You know, why do you want a dream partner? I remember when I was in the last kind of long-term relationship that was very unhealthy, I remember creating a vision board that had a, you know, an RV on it, because like it had, you know, an RV so I can just run away and go, you know, go solo and travel the US. But what I realized after that was not really me. That was a part of me that wanted to escape. Mm-hmm. And that was a part of me that really was actually more attracted to chaos than it was to peace and alignment and fulfillment. Mm-hmm. So the come from is very important. So that, and that's why the healing work is really, I think, is the groundwork is really important, is we have to make sure the come from, like, do you want your dream partner because you want to be, loved and full and healed, or are you already coming to that dating process already loved and already full and already like semi-healed? I don't feel like we're ever healed, but at least healed enough. Mm-hmm. And then you meet your person, because that's what happened with me.
No, I agree. And it's funny, I was actually having a conversation with my girlfriend the other day, and this is kind of personal, but I'll still share it. And she's like, well, I try, you know, to always make you happy. And I said, stop trying to make me happy. I said, I focus on making myself happy. You focus on making yourself happy. And together we show up and amplify the joy that we're bringing to the table. But I think there is this idea of, I need that partner. I need this so I can feel satisfied, so I can feel love, so I can feel happy. And I 100% agree with what you said. Are you showing up already in love with yourself, happy with yourself, feeling whole and fulfilled, and then somebody else who's also showing up from that similar space, totally. And then you're amplifying that in one another rather than expecting somebody to come in and fill those things, because that's never going to work, in my opinion.
Yeah. Easier said than done, for sure. But yes, it is possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so, so, so much for your time today, for chatting with us. This has been really insightful and informational. But before you go, can you please share where my listeners can go to learn more about you, any special programs that you're running right now, and all that good stuff?
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Kelly. I really appreciate this space. It was so nice getting to drop in with you. The quiz, the feminine dating archetype quiz, is at datingarchetype.com. I would love for you to take the quiz. Come follow me on Instagram and then drop me a DM on what the archetype was. I'm super, super curious on what you guys got. See if it connected with you. And then, yeah, I'd love to invite anyone in your community that is looking to call in their dream partner without the drama, really want to love the dating process, find love, heal the deeper layers within themselves so that they can actually feel aligned in the whole process and then attract that beautiful partnership that they want. I have a special promo code, which is Kelly, and my program is called Dating You, the School for Magnetic Relationships. And with your code, Kelly, whoever wants in your community gets 2 months free of Dating You so they can try it at a trial offer. It's a friend's discount. And then I think it's like, I have to do math. It's like $92 off or something like that. So 2 months free and $92 off with the code Kelly for Dating You.
Awesome. And as always, I will have all these links available below in the information box so that it makes it really easy for people to find you. But again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.